The next stop is Wall Street.
Pierces high into the sky, but I can do the same with my eyes. And the trees' roots find the water underground, but you'll never tap the roots of my sound, because they're inside me, inside me. And they're brewing stronger like a tea, I'm aging and trying to get more for free. The forces of nature are reversing themselves on me. Mercy, mercy, me. Mercy, mercy, me. Mercy, mercy, me. Mercy, mercy, me. Well, the shape of things is a mountain, and we're still climbing up to the peak. And I can use a pin to poke through an egg, or I can push right through with my leg. The choice is inside me. I'm angry, or so peachy sweet.
Time now for Bob Babb's Bobby and Barb, brought to you by Mozilla, Goldman, and Fuld. Buying America, the American way.
Say, Bobby, haven't seen you on the green lately. Been busy?
Golly, Bob, to be honest with you, I still can't find a fucking job.
We've been living in our car, Bob, behind the shop right.
In that heap? Come on, guys. The new Mercedes-Benz G-Class will house each family member in comfort and style.
Bob and I both have one, and so do each of the kids.
Wow, that does sound mighty comfy, Bob.
Damn, five of them?
At each house. Every G-Class is welded, bolted, wired, and finished by hand, starting only at $107,000.
You know, maybe you can lend us one till I get back on my feet.
You're joking, right? Bonuses were way down.
We had to put off the heliport at the new beach house till next year.
By the way, you guys should come down with us for a weekend this summer.
That would be great, Bob. We'll bring some friends along to occupy the pool.
Join us next time for Bob Babb's Bobby and Barb, brought to you by Mozilla, Goldman, and Fuld. Buying America, the American way.
How do I feel about the state of society?
I'm kind of tired of the polite feminism, like, okay, is this okay?
How do I feel?
Solidarity makes you feel like you can accomplish things that are more difficult alone.
Feminism is about human rights.
Did you stand up? Did you fight back? Did you resist? Did you stand up? Did you fight back? Did you resist?
Anytime any group of people come together to meet and discuss and to organize, that's activism. That's an action.
On May 17th, Occupy Wall Street had its first feminist GA in Washington Square, New York City. Radio WS sat down with some of the organizers for a chat about the event.
All your names?
My name is Dior Vargas.
Jill Strauss.
Lisa Rubenstein.
There was a group called Women Occupy Wall Street that started primarily because they felt like a lot of women's issues, gender issues, in generally speaking, were being sidelined within Occupy. And so it makes you feel like you can accomplish things that are more difficult alone. Wow. What do we do? What are we gonna do?
Come in court. When they are
socially. Big takeaways.
One of the big takeaways.
About our session.
About our session.
Is that we need more of them.
Is that
the war on women. In this case, it does feel like that. It feels like everything that women and the women's movement have worked, and men, I mean, there have certainly always been allies. Within the peace movement, over and over again, women have had to speak up and advocate, and so we are doing it again, and we're hoping that the kinds of change that we can advocate now will mean that in the future, these same issues don't have to be brought up again and addressed again and articulated again.
We have a facade.
We have a facade.
Of rights.
Of rights.
That we supposedly
already have.
How do we actually own those rights? Actively.
But I would say, you know, that Occupy has opened up a platform, has created a platform for this discussion. And if we have to have it again, we have to have it again. But women and people of color have often felt silenced in a variety of ways. But at the same time, they also have a voice now to say, this isn't okay anymore.
With this belief that we're living in a post-racist society. We thought that.
It was a very similar problem.
What's different with Occupy is that while people still feel silenced, they are expressing their frustration. While in some ways Occupy reproduces the same behaviors that we say that we are trying to address, because we are human beings, and this is a process, and nothing changes overnight, there is still that space to express that dissatisfaction. And then around that continual expression of dissatisfaction, people can organize. But if you're alone feeling silenced, and also silenced to express your dissatisfaction, then you don't know that other people are feeling that too.
And other activist movements.
Of women having a voice.
Not just strong women, but quiet women.
I think that is hard to change. If you have been given permission all of your life to talk and be listened to, then to suddenly have to stop and back up is hard. So we're trying to model the same change that we're asking other people to.
We're trying to honor the previous women and the previous activists that have come before us, because without them,
we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Feminism is about the betterment of all of us.
Feminism is about human rights.
Yeah.
It's a human issue.
WOW also started when some women in Zuccotti Park were expressing fear that they didn't feel safe anymore, and that was sort of dismissed, downplayed, and that's not okay. You know, just like, that's just not okay. If anybody feels unsafe, that has to be heard, listened to, and responded to.
Feminism today.
Could actually benefit by us reclaiming
the women of color leadership.
The history in feminism.
But somebody who has, who's shy or, you know, has been oppressed and does not have the strength to be able to speak up, it's a really great opportunity for people to step back. This is what we call progressive stack, and it's for that reason, to give voice, because that's what we're here for, to give voice and to listen.
I mean, we learn a lot about people by how they are in the world and how they share space.
One term that we used is mansplaining.
Which is when
A man Explains to a woman something that she knows
Probably better than him.
I would encourage men
To please stop doing that.
The secret mistakes are ringing in her ears. The silence, it has to be ended. Not our right to have choices. To have choices. She's young and her life, it is worth it. Listen to all the voices, millions of voices. We ought to be free to use our own minds, use our own minds. This is my body, and for me it ain't time. No.
So we caught up with Sarah Mason to get her thoughts on Time's Person of the Year magazine cover by Shepard Fairey that was based on a photo of her taken during the eviction of Occupy LA.
It's not that I'm unhappy with the photo. I actually think it's a really beautiful photo. The first time that I saw it, I was really surprised because I remember that day the police gave the dispersal order and it took them about an hour to actually move in and arrest the people that were willing to be arrested. So after the dispersal order, all of the other occupiers that, you know, weren't willing to be arrested moved back. And the only people that remained in the area where I was were people that were willing to be arrested, so like 20 or 30 of us, and then the press. So I like the photo itself, and I like that it captures, I think, my authentic experience of that day, which is I was not militant. It wasn't like I was confident in anything that was about to happen. I was scared and I was a little bit reserved. And this was right after Oakland and after Zuccotti. And I had my bandana soaked in vinegar and, you know, I was prepared to be essentially, I was prepared for pepper spray and tear gas. And so I was afraid because that was my expectation. But at the same time, I had this feeling of resolution. Like, I am going to stand here and I'm going to endure whatever happens because I really do believe that this movement can't go away and we can't be repressed. And so I will endure violence. It's the picture. It's the image. It's the embodiment. It's something that makes the movement look sexy. And I don't think, this is important, right? Because I don't think that was the photographer's intention. I don't know, but I don't think that it was. I don't think that that was Shepard Fairey's intention. But I think that women become important when they are sexually desirable. It's like the girl in the abstracted image cannot articulate herself. She's a fucking photograph. So it's like, are women only significant in this movement when they're being pepper sprayed? The article doesn't reference me, and it doesn't need to reference me.
No, right.
But I guess, I don't know what it is about the fact that people were suddenly, like, that somehow gave me some merit in the movement. And it's I feel the same way about the women who were pepper sprayed. It was like they got merit in the movement because somebody voyeuristically captured an experience and then took it and put it into popular consciousness. Women are not involved in this movement to be consumed as eye candy. People ask me, do you want that in your bio? Like if I'm going to speak on a panel or something? Do you want me to include that in your bio? And I'm like, no. But women are often put in that position of trading image for substance. And we are a substantial part of this movement, and our voices are substantial, and they deserve to be considered in meaningful and, you know, intellectual circles of thought, and not just consumed as imagery.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You didn't get a single word in Time magazine, but just your image.
It was interesting too, because afterwards, like, people did not want to actually focus on what the magazine was, what the gesture was, which was, you know, the protester. It could be anybody, it could be you, and the whole idea of making it sort of nebulous and not definitive is, I think, to sort of pose the question to the viewer, to the consumer of Time magazine: are you the person of the year? Is this you? Did you stand up? Did you fight back? Did you resist? But of course, this, you know, celebrity infatuated individualist society immediately wanted to know who is that in the picture. And so then I had all of these news agencies wanting my comment regarding the picture. Who cares what I think about the picture? I'm someone who's a part of this movement. I slept every single night at Occupy LA on the lawn of City Hall. And my moment to speak to the world is, how do I feel about this picture? I mean, how do I feel about the state of society? How do I feel about the collapse of late capitalism and the progressive deterioration of our social and economic reality? I mean, those types of questions are the ones that I would hope to entertain.
September 24, 2011, a group of female protesters were penned in and pepper sprayed by the NYPD. Here's one of them, Joanne Sterling.
It was a pretty alarming experience. You're in this space and you are kind of betting on the fact that if you don't hurt anyone, you won't get hurt yourself. And so when that happens, it's just a very real disintegration of what you thought was okay. Women's images are always used without their voices being listened to or even considered. It's just a very blatant use of shock value, right? Instead of commenting on the real story or the real issues, it's women being hurt. Women having their humanity being taken away from them in a moment in time is being used to gloss over this whole movement. It's always a very frustrating thing to see, but even more just to be that.
Choice. Healthcare.
Did you stand up? Did you fight back? Did you resist? Are women only significant in this movement when they're being pepper sprayed?
It's not just a quality of life issue, it's a basic human rights issue.
You mean like the war on women?
Men! Talk over us!
Talk over us!
And disregard!
And disregard!
Our perspectives! Over and over and over and over again!
Having so much sex, they are going broke buying birth control pills. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex.
The bullshit. The bullshit today.
Women want to have sex all the time and charge the American public for their birth control.
Time to occupy some of that bullshit.
Now, I've known lots and lots of women, and not one of them fits Limbaugh's description of women. I think Rush Limbaugh just didn't get that one right. I'll even suggest right here and now that his take on women is more about his own very sad and broken mind. Bullcrap flies on the wings of, wait a minute, I still have lots of time left. Okay, the Taliban again are shooting up schools for girls. men in Mid and South Asia disfigure, rape, and murder women with impunity. A guy in India murdered his baby daughter because, well, he was really hoping for a boy. Religiously orthodox Israeli men make women ride in the rear of public transportation, and they bully even young girls whose apparent desirability distracts these pious gentlemen. Even in American Orthodox Jewish communities, women are separated from the men. American conservatives want the government to deny health care to women because they might choose to postpone a lifetime of raising and obsessing over an offspring. Now, I recall the Declaration of Independence was written in 1776, but women didn't have the right to vote until 1920. And what time of the morning in America is it? Oh, yeah, the 21st century. And here we are arguing about women having sex and, God forbid, enjoying it. And we're still not paying them as much as men for the same jobs. Now, I'm giving these Republican politicians the benefit of the doubt by assuming, Rick Santorum aside, they're not delusional like these religious nuts, just sociopathically mendacious where their career tracks are concerned. But it all adds up to the same thing, doesn't it? That either there's an adaptive malignancy in the Y chromosome or the alleged god of humans is a punk asshole. Now that I got your attention by going after all the usual suspects, let's get to some bullshit closer to home. Maybe closer than I'd like. I constantly hear Occupy women complain about their treatment within the movement, which puts a less benign spin on our professed creed. Maybe a strong dose of reality mic check-in is in order, comrades, if we truly want to accomplish something. Why do so many men throughout Homo sapien history on every part of the planet strive to make half the population sad, degraded, and resentful? And that's before getting around to banging on racial, ethnic, and religious minorities of both genders. That's some crazy bullshit. And bullshit flies in the wings of ignorance. Knowledge eats bullshit for lunch. Bon appetit, ladies.
This is Wall Street.
Something's wrong! Something's wrong!
You've been listening to Radio WS, produced by Pilar Levine, production manager Austin Hill. Music, Goldie Shack Gorillas and Polarity One. Mercy by Myra Cook. Bob Babs, Bobby and Barb, skit produced by Polarity One, with voices by Austin Hill, Deborah Gieringer, Katie Martin, and Pilar Levine. Women's Issues segment produced by Goldie, with musical Cliff's Notes by Polarity One and song by Lauren DeGoya. Occupy That Bullshit, Pilar Levine.